Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the fabulous happenings going on over at SewHere.com, you can go to SewHere.com/LoveNote to get our weekly newsletter. And that can be nice because sometimes we talk about things on the podcast and they get a little delayed,
right?
You know, because the podcast is weekly and you know, we will sometimes batch record. So you can stay up to date. You can read my snarky commentary on articles. I mean, it's not terribly snarky. I try.
Sometimes
I try
snarky.
To be snarky.
Sometimes it's not snarky, but most of the time
you
it's
know,
snarky.
You know, I'm trying to be entertaining.
Imagine I have a snarky
right?
child.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah. Okay. So we'd love for you to subscribe and be on the newsletter list. We have a great time sending that out to you every week. Okay, Mom, we're going to talk about one of your favorite things.
You want me to confess today?
To hate.
Well, I hate, I dislike disliking something.
Just let it out.
No. Like one time I heard Paul Simon interviewed and somebody said, what's the song that, you know, you wrote that's popular that you cannot stand? And he said, I don't want to say that. Somebody likes it. You know, so as soon as he says Feeling Groovy is the silliest, funniest song he ever wrote, that, you know, there's going to be somebody go out there going, Feeling Groovy is one of my favorite songs. So, you know, I sort of related to that because I know this is a popular thing.
Sure is.
And it's Fleece.
It is very popular.
And I don't like it.
Nope.
I don't even like the expensive stuff, which should be okay, but I don't like it.
I think maybe though we could say, like, you don't like Polar Fleece,
right? Polar fleece is out.
Yeah,
is that the, like, really cheap stuff that there's miles and miles and miles of at the
and
big it, box stores,
and it's got like,
and it has like
frozen on it, and
right,
and
right, it has all of the
characters now.
Right,
I will say, I own a couple of like fleeces. Remember when Old Navy had all that?
Yeah.
Old Navy performance fleece, you know?
Well, I don't own any.
So, yeah, I do from, you know, like we had them in show choir and stuff.
Right, right.
And like,
and I didn't.
Right.
Because I didn't like them.
The garment weight, though, fleece, it can be different.
Right, right. No, and there's a lot of fleece.
Than the polar fleece, for sure.
That is used in constructing garments.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that companies construct garments with that are very, you know, ethical and what do I want to say? Reasonable and good quality companies are making good quality products.
Right, right. But there's definitely some nasty,
right,
nasty,
well,
fleece out there too.
Right, and it gets nasty and you know it just doesn't last and it pulls apart.
You know what I think?
What?
I think that this is one of my big problems with fleece, and we're gonna sort of talk about our personal beefs with fleece before the message break, and then after the message break, Mom's gonna share some info from an article that she has about fleece and its environmental impact. But I think what happens with fleece is there's bolts and bolts and bolts and bolts of it.
Yep.
At the store, and then they're like, you can make a no-sew blanket.
A no-sew blanket. You cut the edges and you tie them together and da-da-da-da-da.
If you've had an afternoon doing that with your kid, great. Okay. But I think it gets like, this reputation as something that is hold on. I have a whole thing. You got to write it down. Okay. it gets this reputation as a material that is easy to work with because it doesn't fray.
Right. And guess what? That's not really true. You're losing fibers all the time.
It's not really true. Okay. Right. But like I had this, my friend Stacy, and actually she's not like a super... What do I want to say?
Sewing friend?
Well, she's my friend, and then she can sew, and actually she's a really intuitive seamstress.
Actually, she can do just about anything. Yeah, she's really... Yeah, she's very good at stuff.
But she wanted to make a vest from a pattern, not from a pattern, actually. It's from a vest that her mother-in-law had made her back in the day, okay?
Did she bring in fleece?
Well, and the vest, get this, the original vest was made of fleece,
but it was
too.
A nice, heavy...
It's a different type of fleece.
It was dense and high quality.
Yeah. So then Stacy brings in this other fleece, and you know what? She liked the print.
Right.
And it was fun and cool. Right. And, you know, Stacy actually, I don't mean to, like... sound condescending, but she's like really good at sewing for not sewing a lot. Like for not
no, she catches on right away. Like anything you show her.
And I don't think she sews like every day. And she just such a good job.
She's smart.
She is just
she's
really smart.
And she is intuitive and she's good with her hands. Yeah. And she's mechanical. So all those things go.
You know, I was really impressed actually with her skill.
I don't think you she will think you've insulted
now,
her.
Now I did draft her pattern for her because I'm nice and everything. And I had to tell her to put the zipper in, but you know, at one point she was like, oh, this isn't going to last as long. Because, you know, this vest, I think she told me it was like 10 or 15 years old, the one she brought in. And I was like, no, it's not.
Right.
You, as a, this fabric is not as nice.
Right.
And we hate it. you know, I don't know what I said. I said, you know, we don't like to work with it.
You were just lucky I wasn't there when she walked through the door
Part of it, I said, Stacy, is its durability. That's part of our beef with it, is the durability as a garment. Now, if you make a little doll blanket or you make a little fun tie blanket and your kid likes it, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Mom's not going to be...
If they get those fibers in their mouth that are shedding, they are swallowing those fibers.
Mom's not going to be sitting down with Zelda making any ties.
Your baby... None of my babies have any fleece blankets
that. I don't like fleece garments for my baby either.
Well, they're plastic.
Generally, they're really
The fleece that you're... They are. Yeah. And the fleece you're talking about, the big bolts, you know, with the... novelty type things are usually as cheaply made as they possibly
And I do. I can like, you know, we got a fleece like sleep sack in the hospital for Zelda. Totally different type
totally
of fleece.
Different thing.
And still I was like, not a big fan.
Well, they
I
aren't like, breathable. Is right.
I like cotton knits for babies.
Right.
Even the thicker like interlock, you know, ones. Yes. I like those a lot. So anyway. Stacy, though, she ended up making this fleece vest, and there were a couple things that were kind of, like, nice about it. She didn't finish. It had a facing that got top stitched down, and we just didn't finish that edge.
Right.
You know, I said, you can do this because this is fleece.
Right.
You know, or this is this polar fleece, and it's going to be okay.
Right.
But it did kind of want to stretch out a shape on her. The fabric doesn't have a very good structure to work with. And
what's so funny is it doesn't have a weave.
No.
It just goes out of shape.
Right.
Which means it doesn't go back into shape.
Blah, blah. Right. Yeah, you can't like steam it back.
You can't get it back.
You can't be ironing that stuff.
Well, no, you can melt it.
You melt it.
Back,
yeah, exactly. You melt it. And then a lot of people, we do the, speaking of blankets, and then I'm going to let you, I know you wrote something down. We talk about blankets, and we love to make the flannel blankets on the serger, and I'll have somebody come in and get all, or not anymore. Why don't anybody come in anymore telling
you
me
what
about
to make,
Well, this didn't, you know, serging this blanket didn't work on this fleece blanket. It got all out of shape. I'm like, that's not my fault. Like, you are doing this on fleece. We did it on flannel.
And we did it on a good quality
Yes. And I was like, your fleece, if you're going to serge...
Well, we did it on a cotton flannel.
Yeah, if you're going to serge on this fleece, you're going to have to take more things into consideration so that it doesn't, stretch out of shape. Because it wants to stretch out of shape because it doesn't have any structure as a fabric.
Right.
Well, what'd you write down, Mom? Sorry.
Well, this is just kind of a funny thing. There's a show, Rachel Ray.
Oh?
Yeah. And... occasionally, I will see bits of it because I don't change the channel from, you know, the previous show I'm watching. In fact, they don't know how to take care of garments. They had a section on that the other day. But anyway, today, a lady was talking about napkins.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is the greatest way to make a napkin. I just want to show you the misinformation that's out there, okay? So she bought linen.
Okay.
I love linen napkins.
Hold on. Yeah, fleece. Thought you were going to say she bought fleece. Okay, well, yeah, at least we're not there.
While you eat. But anyway. But anyway, it was a linen napkin, which is a good idea, right?
Sure.
And she says, and all you have to do now is fray the edges, and once they're frayed, they will never ravel again.
Like she didn't sew it and then fray it?
There was no stitching. There was no
nothing. Oh, jeez.
I thought, somebody's going to have a little wad of string in their washing machine someday.
That's the opposite of what will happen, guys.
Exactly.
It's the exact opposite.
No, I know. I just thought, how can she be, how can that be? This is why we believe stupid stuff.
Are you certain that she didn't sew it
all? I saw the whole thing. And then they showed a close-up of the napkin. Now, what you would do, if you wanted to do that, is you would stitch a tight stitch, like, you know, a 2 or a 1.5, right, around all the edges with, you know, like a border, right? And then you would fray up to it.
Yeah.
I learned this in Girl Scouts. That would have been about, let's see, 56 years ago.
I don't want to believe you almost. Like, I almost don't. I don't
I know
believe
you don't want to believe
that,
me because I'm like, what?
That happened.
Thought she was going to say you just run a stitch. And then fray this, because she says, all you do is fray this. And I was looking, and she never once said, do you stitch it? She says, and after it's once frayed, it won't fray anymore. That is what she said.
Oh, no.
That is what she said.
That's the opposite of reality.
That is what she said.
So once you start fraying the fabric and it's not secured, it will just keep fraying.
So anyway, so people that don't know, but, you know, if you don't know, if you don't know fabric.
That's right.
And she's. She has this person on as an expert.
We should do.
Should be on that show.
No, we should do a little linen napkin project. Write that down. I have an idea. Okay. I mean, it's not like super innovative, but it'll be really cute. It'll be very Pinterest worthy. I'm picturing some
just like the Girl Scouts.
Yes,
okay,
it'll be good. Okay, so anyway, yeah. Well,
that's sort of like principles of weaving. You know, it's going to let loose.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. But
oh
anyway,
my gosh, that's
so
crazy.
So I was just quite amazed at that. And it's probably time to take a break.
I don't know. but yeah, we can go ahead and take a message break. Good tangent, though. I think that's a good tangent. So.
I thought so.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Mom, I've done it.
Uh-oh.
I have found the perfect laundry spray bottles, sourced them, found the perfect labeling stickers, and brought them to the public.
And what do you put in them?
We put vodka in one of them and your special Distain stain removal solution in the other. And they are aluminum 16-ounce bottles, not too heavy.
I was going to say, perfect weight, perfect size.
Not too heavy when you fill them. Perfectly portable for taking around your house, leaving in your laundry room, or out to your car to deodorize it after your baby's puked in it.
So, do you give my Distain recipe to the world free?
I do. We give it away for free. And if you go to sewhere.com/clothingcare, you will see these spray bottles. And you can use a special discount code, VODKA, to get 20% off the laundry spray bottles from ZD Sewing Studio.
Good deal. So happy.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And we're back, and Mom's getting up an article. She's She's going to...
And we'll put this in the...
show notes.
The show notes.
They're called show notes, Mom.
Show notes. The show notes. You don't have to audition for that, do you?
No.
Okay. Or any... Whatever.
We put any old thing in the show notes.
Okay. So this is actually the second article I found or read or whatever. And it's from Patagonia. You know who Patagonia clothing is, apparently.
Yeah, and Patagonia has a really good...
Besides being a city in Chile, but...
Yeah.
Chile.
It has a really good reputation of having ethically made clothing. And actually...
And durable, long-lasting quality clothing. Yes. And do they not make things like tents and things too? Or do they just make clothing?
I'm not 100%.
Do they make other outdoor stuff?
I don't know that for
sure. I don't know either, but I think...
It wouldn't surprise me.
Right. You know, they do have a lot of camping gearish type clothing.
Yeah, they're...
You know, hiking... all that kind of stuff.
I have a friend who has the REI credit card.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what REI stands for, but you know, it's like,
recreation and something. You know, but it, I've been to one of their stores. Yes.
So like this REI credit card.
Yeah.
It has no credit limit.
Oh wow.
Anyway, yeah. He buys a lot of Patagonia stuff.
Does he? and you know, Patagonia being in the outdoor wear business, mm-hmm. I'm sure is concerned about the outdoors. Existing and being there.
They are for very, yes, good.
Right.
Good for them for being concerned, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But like you said, supposedly they were like founded in the 70s sometime.
I just read about their workplace too and how they have like on-site childcare and stuff. Like they're
pretty
cool.
Good. Yeah.
They're cool. So tell me though, what about,
what's
this article about?
What they did, because they heard about the microfibers and the microbeads. You know, you were talking about the microbeads at one time,
mm-hmm.
that they go into our water supply.
Yeah.
Because we use microbeads to cleanse our face and exfoliate our face and like facial scrub.
You know
scrub
what? I just want to say a little bit of a...
You want to use the apricot scrub.
No, I'm going to say, I always freaking hated those microbeads.
Right.
They
don't do anything. They just roll.
Yeah. Give me some apricot scrub.
Right. And that is pretty much organic.
Biodegradable.
So anyway.
I'm probably planting apricot trees in the sewer.
They themselves decided to investigate this emerging issue.
Okay, so wait. You're telling me that microfibers from fleece can have a similar environmental
impact. It's worse.
Oh, okay. So let's just baseline this for people.
Right.
You know, those microbeads and some of the facial cleansers
right.
or body cleansers. There's like mountains of them at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
Right.
And they're not going anywhere.
Because people have washed them down their sink or their mm-hmm. toilet or their, you know, bathtub, and they go into Lake Michigan and they do not degrade.
That's right. And so...
So there's little bitty pebbles, marbles of these microbeads...
Fleece.
Filling up our oceans and our lakes and our rivers.
Right. So fleece, as we know it, you know, in those Old Navy
right.
performance fleece, so your Patagonia fleece is made of synthetic fibers as well.
Right. Now, the really, really inexpensive type, the novelty type that we were just
talking about, uh-huh.
being not nice about earlier, those are mostly like acrylic, plastic.
Uh-huh.
They're recycled from soda bottles, things like this, right? But what the difference is these are fibers. So they're long and they're like curly
uh-huh.
or kinky, right?
Uh-huh.
So if a fish swallows a microbead, it just poops it out.
Okay.
Okay? Or it might go into its body someplace, but it's not. These fibers will act like little drills or little spirals or and they get hung up in the fish, and so you're eating them. You could be eating them even.
So,
because they don't pass, or they kill the fish.
So we dug up some petroleum, made it into a soda bottle.
Right.
Drank the soda bottle. We thought we're being great by going and recycling it. And it ends up in a fish, and then we eat it. And oh my gosh,
that's right.
Do we poop it out, and does a fish eat it again?
Hopefully you do, and it doesn't make you sick. I mean, I guess the problem with the fibers are that they won't pass. You know,
yeah.
that they are truly these little, you know, corkscrews of an issue.
So do you have a part of the article to read?
Well, I guess I've got a little bit here. Apparel products are not the only source of microplastic particles, you know, that are entering the ocean. There's other industries, and it says fishing nets, bottle caps,
okay.
packaging, plastic bags break down, you know, all, so there are other things. It's not just the garment, but of course, Patagonia was specifically interested. Garments of higher quality shed less in the wash, and, you know, less than the low quality products, okay? Here's another interesting thing. Your top load washing machines will make your microfiber shed worse than your front loading.
Oh, really?
So if we're serious about all this, you got to consider, do you want a front loader?
And this can get...
And it is...
So do you have any stats or anything? Like you were looking... You said something like... And you were started a sentence earlier.
I mean, I did.
You were like in 2016 or something like
that. Well, I said that off the top of my head from what I read. Okay. So here, our washing machines represent an integral step in the path of pollution.
Hold on. Slow down. Start again.
Right. Our washing machines represent an integral step in the path to pollution. So we've centered our testing on common appliances found in many homes. And wastewater treatment plants filter a good amount of the microfibers. 65 to 92%, it says, but still release a significant volume of waste. So we plan to bring our findings to the appliance industry and waste operators as well. So that's something. And I think in this article here, investigating ways to minimize fiber shedding by improving fabric construction, supporting scientists working to gain a better understanding of the types and sources of the microfibers and their ecological public health impact, investing in innovative organizations working to address marine plastics pollutions, and then communicating, which is this is our step, communicating proactively with our customers and the broader public.
So what did that, those are things they're doing?
Right. That's their mission with this. And then what they will tell you is, don't buy clothing if you don't need it.
Right.
Okay. Buy the higher quality, the durable, because the lower durability not only sheds more, but you're going to get rid of it and get a new one and replace it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So the Patagonia is basically, I guess some people really like to be like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing recycled soda bottles. You know, Emma Watson.
Yeah, but you're putting them in the ocean.
Well,
right.
Emma Watson wore a recycled, you know, soda bottle dress to the Met Gala. And she is always talking about, like, her ethical clothing and stuff. And, of course, it's always really expensive. Like, things that are out of reach for, you know, the normal consumer a lot of the time.
Right.
And so, like, we get excited about recycling soda bottles, but we can't just be like...
But we can't afford to recycle soda bottles.
Well, yeah. So it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're recycling these soda bottles, but now they're becoming... something that can be harmful to the environment. So the higher quality fleeces, though, they do not
shed as...
So where is this article from? Is it from Patagonia's website?
I don't know if that one is or not.
I think so. Yeah.
And well, like I said, we can post it.
Yeah, and there's
a couple.
There's some tips in here, too.
Right, on what to do with, like, when you're washing, you know, don't wash your clothes unless they have to be washed. Mm-hmm. You can sponge off, you know... certain spots, that type of thing. I'd say use vodka, vodka in the pits or whatever, wherever you need it.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't like to wear some synthetic. Well, I mean, I do wear synthetic fibers because, you know, just thinking about our bathing suits. Obviously, we like to wear.
I guess that's I wear a lot of yoga pants.
Right,
but they're a percentage. You know, usually they're cotton with a percentage, and they're saying fine. But what they're saying is, you know, you don't have to, and I have to wash my yoga pants every time because they don't fit right if I don't. But, you know, you don't have to overwash, you don't have to overuse, and you don't have to overbuy. There's this thing about overbuying, you know, think about what you're doing. How many pairs of yoga pants do you need? I'm pretty good if I have 4 or 5.
Do you need the polar fleece with the basketballs and the baseballs?
That's
and the footballs and Elsa on it?
Right. Exactly.
Well, and
how many polar fleece blankets do you need? I see them all over the place. And don't you see them, like, people throwing them away?
You know who likes those polar fleece blankets?
Your dog?
No.
Oh.
Your daughter. Middle daughter. She likes those ones that get all silky feeling.
Yeah.
I know. Mom just cringed.
I bought a heating pad. We just had somebody just asked about heating pad covers. And I bought a heating pad And I opened it up, and it had a microfiber cover, and I just about freaked. And I thought, well, it's certainly going to get hot, isn't it? It's going to, like, warm up like plastic. And, of course, I immediately made a new cover for it. But
I thought it was so funny.
I was real surprised.
That somebody asked about that in the group. Because I'm like, they don't even know.
They don't even know me and my
heating pad obsession. Yeah. And your expertise in making heating pad covers is something. I don't know if we could do a whole podcast
I think, you know, when we're talking, I mean, obviously I had some sort of like instinctual thing that made me dislike fleece that I knew I was ruining the planet.
You have an inborn.
I mean, that's what
Mom
it was.
Mom and I don't do anything else that is environmentally irresponsible either.
Nothing.
No.
No. No.
Actually, that's a podcast topic. There are a lot of topics that I would like to, now that I've got the time, really research
too.
More in depth. And some of it is a little bit of this, like, moral superiority.
Well, there's a lot of moral superiority going on. Yes, there is.
In the garment sewing, like, oh, if I have a sewing machine, I'm automatically, like, better than you, you know, or something. And I'm like, you know, I don't even like to say that we are being, like, more ethical when we make our clothing, because I'm not, like, 100% sure about all that.
No.
You know? I'm not.
Well, where do you think your fabric comes from? Where do you think the dyes from that fabric come from?
And who Ooh, made the fabric?
This was something else that I saw on Facebook just recently. Hillary posted it, and they took scraps of fabric, it looked like cotton fabric, that were dyed, and they wrapped up an egg in it.
Yeah.
And then they put a plain white cotton, it looked like, over it. They wrapped it up, and then they put these eggs in water with a couple tablespoons of vinegar, and they boiled them for 25 minutes. Well, first of all, I don't know how you're going to eat that egg if you boil it for 25 minutes, but I guess you're not going
to. Maybe they blew them out first.
They could have, you know. And which I hope, because what Cindy, my chemical engineer friend, said to me is, ooh, those dyes in that, those fabrics are not FD&C, you know, certified.
Yeah.
And especially, not only are they not certified by our government, but those dyes probably came from India.
Right, right.
You know, so you don't, I mean, we don't know how much lead, usually, it's usually lead.
Right, right.
That's in.
Well, and I've seen that, I don't know.
And you know, the thing about lead is, if you get enough of it, you would be euphoric about those eggs.
Yeah, that's right. You'd love it.
Yeah.
I've seen people do that with silk ties. I don't think it has to be cotton.
Well, it's just transfer. Like, what you're doing is the vinegar is transferring the dye.
So we hope they blew them out first.
Right. Don't eat fabric dye.
Don't eat fabric dye.
It's probably got a heavy metal in it.
That's
maybe
so
more
true.
Than one. It's you know, it's worse than eating mercury in your fish.
Spoiler alert: if you're listening to S Town, the podcast S Town, don't stop right now. Fast forward a little bit, but I'll just tell Mom that this podcast centers around this man, and they talk about he was a clock restorer, and talk about some of the stuff he did, and then he ends up, like, being imbalanced, and I'm not going to spoil it too bad, but I'm like, that guy had mercury poisoning.
So, do you know where the Mad Hatter comes in Alice in Wonderland?
No, and you know what?
All hatters.
Yeah, were working.
Right. They were working with mercury.
Mercury.
And that's why they were known as the Mad Hatters.
And the NPR producer who, I don't know if it's NPR, This American Life serial, blah, 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 who was doing this, he was like, well, I'd never heard of Mad Hatter syndrome. I'm like, I have, you know. Well,
hopefully we don't have it anymore. You know,
but,
hopefully we don't have lead paint.
The processes we're using were advised against by several people, like his professors and everything, you know, and stuff. Anyway, I called it before they mentioned it. In case anybody's listened to S-Town, I just want to tell you that I called it. And they did not definitively, and they cannot definitively prove that he had this, but after talking to some experts describing his behavior and the fact that
there was no post on him or anything, like no blood taken,
well,
no tissues.
Well, I guess like,
you know,
not,
all you need is hair.
Not the right kind.
Yeah.
And I guess that mercury actually goes away from the body pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
And so they'd have to, you know, the producer was all like, obviously I don't want to dig him up, you know.
Well,
I'm not
lead
do
is
that.
Cumulative.
And mercury.
But lead.
Yeah,
is
but lead is,
lead is what's in the dye.
Yes. So he was working with this mercury, and they said that they what they could have done, though, is test his, like, workshop area.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get permission to do that either.
So if there's anybody... And if there's anybody that runs those races... I mean, I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but I'm liking it. If there's anybody that runs those races where they throw that...
Chalk dust!
The dust at you. Okay. That dye also is not F, D, and C. Okay, it probably has metal dye in it because that's what's cheap is the metal dyes, okay?
How about just particles in your freaking lungs?
Just the particulate going into your lung right there, I don't get. And then the color, too. So there, I won't let anybody in my family do those. I think they're really dumb.
I
just don't get it at all. I don't know why everybody's happy at the end of that race.
I've thought the same thing when I've seen those. I'm like, what are they spraying on?
No, and you know what's...
Have you ever dusted off a chalkboard?
Well, what's really sad about it to me is there's a lot of children often involved in that because of the color and
all
that.
Well, and I don't know. You know, I guess I've never looked into doing one of those. But, I mean, even if the dye was perfectly safe, I just think about, like...
It's the particulate matter going in your lungs.
They tell you not to use, like, baby powder on a baby anymore.
Right.
You know, like...
Well, no, I can tell you a baby powder does to your lungs. It sticks your lung tissues together.
Right. Okay, well,
Okay, anybody want to need any other advice on
we're
anything?
We're in the groove right now.
We're
not running the store anymore. We got all the time in the world.
We can think about anything we want.
Produce 45-minute buttonhole podcasts, you know. But speaking of the store, we do have an online store. You can go to sewhere.com/shop, and you can buy some of the things that we talk about on the podcast. Or if you're a super involved listener, you can write me a message with the subject line, things to stock, like a lot of you do. And you're like, hey, carry this. I want to buy it from you.
There you go.
I'll do it.
And we have those nylon snaps that you're all looking at that lingerie guide video right now. We have those nylon snaps.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can get a hold of us on Instagram, on Facebook. We've got the Facebook group, the Self Sewn Wardrobe. You can email me at Mallory@sewhere.com.
And we want you to sew happy, sew long, and sew happy.
And sew with clean lungs.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.